Welcome in to the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. Across from me, as always, Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Get all of his picks, FatJackSports.com. And you can go there for the MMA picks, but stay for the March Madness picks. The tournament starts this week. You got the next month of college basketball, the NBA, but you need to go there for Jordan's picks. Sign up for Jordan's picks at FatJackSports.com. What's up, Jordan?
I want to clear the air, actually, on something,
because
listening back to last week.
Okay.
When we went off on a tangent about my wallet.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the fact that I have a wallet that's like George Costanza. I pull coupons for free massages in towns I'll never visit, and I've got 16 different health cards and different Costco cards.
More cow there than he's got there. Sorry.
But I need to emphasize the fact that I actually don't have a wallet. I have a clip. It's just a clip. So I don't have a folded leather with pockets and stuff.
Is it as thick as a wallet? Are you just unorganized?
No, I just have a clip. So I don't want people to think that I've got this monstrosity of something that's weighing me down that's causing my back issues. I just have a clip, and thanks to you, I eliminated half that clip.
Look at you. Do you feel better? Do you feel lighter? Do you feel like you're more nimble on your feet?
Playing hoops tonight. We'll see how that goes.
Why?
It makes me happy.
That's fair, I guess.
It makes me happy.
People ask, they're like, "Do you want?" I'm like, "No, I don't want to."
It makes me happy.
I have no desire to do that. None. I'm also not very good, so it doesn't make me happy. I play golf.
It's with a bunch of dads from the neighborhood.
Okay.
And quite literally, it's all we have. Whenever we get together, school function, date night, party around the neighborhood, we only talk about the basketball.
You got to golf, man. You got to take up golf.
Unfortunately, the group, only like two of them play.
All right. Well, then you're a third. You need one more for a foursome. That's it.
So I'm still waiting for the Countryside invite from you and Black.
Hey, we'll be up there once it gets warmer out. It's like 20 degrees outside.
Yeah, it's a little rough to get out there right now.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. I didn't even go out there that one weekend when it hit like 70 on Sunday. I was like, too windy. Not for me. I need it to be like 80, sunny. I like to be hot when I'm out there.
Get a little sweat going?
Oh, absolutely. As much sweat as you can. It's mostly alcohol that you're just sweating out because you're drinking.
It's one way to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm on board for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, let's get into this UFC fight night. It's not very good. We've talked about this. The upcoming couple of UFC fight nights are not very good as they whet your appetite for UFC 300 coming up next month. In a little under a month from now, we've got Amanda Ribas against Rose Namajunas as the main event. Rose is a huge favorite. But let's start. This is something we don't normally do, but when we talked about recording it this week, you wanted to mention this. We've got two very good fights in the prelims. You've got Muhammad Usman against Mick Parkin, and then you've got Ricardo Ramos against Julian Arosa. These two fights should be very good based on the odds. We don't normally start with prelims, Jordan, but what do you think of these?
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting. It's the first fight of the night, Muhammad Usman and Mick Parkin. Muhammad Usman, he's got that famous last name. He's the brother of Kamaru Usman, the famous longtime reigning welterweight champion. It's fallen a little bit on hard times. Usman got into the UFC, being on the Ultimate Fighter. He hasn't looked great in his UFC career thus far. Been kind of lackadaisical, a little lackluster, but he's winning fights based on top control and being able to dominate his opponents. I just don't think he's going to do that against a guy that is a little bit more seasoned, has about the same type of UFC experience in Mick Parkin. Usman's been able to use double legs and get fights to the ground. I think Mick Parkin is savvy enough to keep the fight on the feet, and if he does that, I think he's going to score, and I think he's going to win rounds. He's a relatively small favorite. Mick Parkin is, I think, $1.60 here. We're recording it on a Wednesday is what I saw lately from FanDuel. It's also a short-notice fight for him. This actually was supposed to be originally Chris Barnett, who it would have been great to see him. He's always fun to watch because he will throw out flying wheel kicks, but he got hurt. And Usman steps in, or Parkin steps in. But I still think that the public has not identified yet the advantages that Parkin will have. And I think there could possibly be a situation where Parkin's money line balloons up. So I'd grab him now at $1.60 while you can.
Okay, so we'll grab Parkin at $1.60 minus 160. And then our next fight in the prelims, Ricardo Ramos against Julian Arosa. Arosa's plus 140 on the money line, Ramos minus 185.
So I think this is just going to be a fun fight. I can't side either way yet on which way I want to go with Julian Arosa or Ricardo Ramos. What I do believe is there's going to be a finish. Julian Arosa, for as entertaining as he is, and he was one of those guys I think you got to know because he was one of those pandemic fighters that was fighting like every other week, taking advantage of the multitude of fights that became available. And he's a very experienced fighter. He's a very unorthodox fighter. But he's fallen out a little bit in hard times. He's lost two fights in a row, both by knockout. Ricardo Ramos is an unorthodox striker. He comes with a different variety of strikes that could alter the fight or put Julian Arosa's lights out. But Ramos also susceptible to the takedown, susceptible to submissions. Julian Arosa's got a wide variety of submissions and finishing ability in his arsenal. So I'm not sure if the line is out yet. I haven't seen it, but I do believe a finish happens in this fight. So I'm looking at the round total either under 2.5 or quite frankly even under 1.5.
Oh, wow. Okay, so a quick finish in that prelim between Ramos and Arosa. We'll look for that when that comes out here on FanDuel. A lot of these aren't listed yet on FanDuel right now. We'll go to the main card now. One of the fights that's on this main card before the main event is Edmund Shahbazyan against A.J. Dobson. Dobson plus 185, the underdog. Shahbazyan coming in 1-4 in his last five fights. He lost his last fight. He won the fight before that and had three losses heading into that. He is minus 205, the favorite here. Dobson coming in, getting his win last summer, registered his first win last summer in the UFC. Dobson coming in plus 185, the underdog.
I always think it's interesting with Edmund Shahbazyan fights. He came into the UFC with a lot of hype behind him. One reason was is because he was undefeated and he was finishing opponents both on the regional scene, and then when he got into the UFC, he was flawless at 11-0. He was also under the tutelage at that time of Edmund Tavardian, the guy that took Ronda Rousey to her prominence as probably, you know, the greatest star the UFC has ever seen. I'm not going to say the greatest fighter because we know that's Amanda Nunes. But he then kind of got susceptible to what his kryptonite was, that if you could survive the opening round, you can take him down whenever you want. He's going to get tired. He's going to gas. And that's what has led to now four losses in his last five fights. And the three losses that he had during that losing streak and four losses overall. That's not going to happen against A.J. Dobson. A.J. Dobson's not a guy that's going to go in there and try and take him down, wear him out, and get the finish that way. This is a guy that's going to oblige Edmund Shahbazyan's game plan and have this fight contest on the feet. And I haven't seen anything yet from A.J. Dobson in his relatively short UFC career with the Contender Series and a couple of fights in the UFC that he's got takedowns, he's got strong cardio in his arsenal to be able to make this fight a difficult one for Edmund Shahbazyan. So Shahbazyan is certainly going to go into my parlay. I think he wins the fight. But I think we have to find some value a little bit further. So when it's released, I would suggest that we take a look at the Edmund Shahbazyan wins the fight via TKO. Okay. Not necessarily inside the distance or submission, but by knockout.
All right.
10 of his 12 wins have come by knockout. And in a fight that I believe is going to be contested on the feet and standing, where striking is going to be at an important part of whoever wins or loses, I like Edmund Shahbazyan to win the fight.
Oh, you're reading my mind because we won our prop of the night last week. So we're going in with a little bit of house money here for the prop of the night. And I'm looking at Shahbazyan by knockout at plus 155 on FanDuel.
I think that that's a smart investment.
All right.
I think that that's how Edmund Shahbazyan wins fights. He could take advantage because he's got power. He's got strength. He's got a variety of strikes, and Dobson, I think, is going to oblige him with that. Plus, also, it's a short notice fight and situation for Dobson. This originally was supposed to be Dusko Todorovic, but he had to pull out because of a knee injury. So Dobson taking this fight on short notice could be a difficult proposition for him to mirror what he's going to face against Edmund Shahbazyan. And Shahbazyan has the power. Speaking of which, were you watching the Mearshart fight live when your prop cashed? Because I was screaming at the TV because he had Brian Barberena down in that first round.
Yeah.
Just couldn't get the submission locked in.
Yep.
Then he finally got in the second round. And I was a little bit worried, too, because, you know, Fat Jack Sports, one of our plays, was the under at 2.5. I did talk about it on the podcast as well as on VSiN, but it was one of our official releases, and it cashed along with your props. So that was a good fight, and we're in plus money again with your props.
Yeah, much to the chagrin of my wife at dinner, I was watching that singular fight because we went to dinner and a concert on Saturday night. So I watched that. I was like, hold on, I got to watch this prop of the night. And she's like, what? I'm like, don't worry about it. Just look at the menu or something. Like, we'll figure out what we're eating, what you want to eat, because I got to watch this real quick. And luckily, it hit the under, so I didn't have to piss her off for very long.
Right.
I was watching it on my phone while we were sitting at dinner before we went to the concert. But no, so we'll take Shahbazyan, we'll put him in the parlay, and then also going to take Shahbazyan by knockout as my prop of the night. Our next fight is Carl Williams against a Taffa. It was supposed to be Junior Taffa, but now it's Justin Taffa, and a while ago it was supposed to be Justin Taffa fighting someone else. That ended up being Junior Taffa. So Justin Taffa returning the favor for his brother, stepping in against Carl Williams. Carl Williams minus 200 right now on the money line. Justin Taffa plus 155. So regardless of how we got here, it is Williams against Taffa.
It is Williams versus a Taffa.
Yes.
It's Williams now against the better Taffa.
Okay.
It's Williams against the more experienced UFC Taffa.
Still minus 200, though.
Still minus 200. Well, that's because, you know, Carl Williams, what he does, similar to what I think we were talking about a little bit in that first fight with Muhammad Usman and Mick Parkin, is that Muhammad Usman, like Carl Williams, is going to want to take the fight to the ground, and Mick Parkin is going to want to keep the fight standing, use his footwork to avoid those. Justin Taffa is not going to want to worry about footwork. He's just going to want to worry about landing one of his fists in the Carl Williams face. And that's what Justin Taffa does. We talked about it in the preview of the Justin Taffa, Marcus Rogério de Lima fight. That was the one that was scrapped, and his brother, Junior Taffa, fills in.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Taffa has the most ridiculous takedown defense in UFC history. I think it's at 100%. And I alluded to the fact that, you know, in previous contests, he wasn't fighting wrestlers. He wasn't fighting guys that were in the hunt of a takedown that I thought maybe Marcus Rogério de Lima could be. Carl Williams is absolutely looking for a takedown. And if he gets it, like, I don't believe Justin Taffa is getting up. I just don't see that happening. But I'm not sure if he's going to be successful enough to do it, because Carl Williams is lethargic with his strikes. Very mediocre at best when he gets the fight to the ground with looking for a finish. He's just satisfied with control. So at plus money, a guy that went through a full training camp, had to bow out because of a sickness, not necessarily because of injury. So he's right back in the gym. I think that Taffa on the money line to land a bomb at some point in the fight is worth it.
Wow.
So I'll take Justin Taffa.
Taffa plus 155 on the money line. I love that. The dogs are barking. I love it. Not the news dog. No, quiet news dog. Not right now. We don't have
Wait,
the news yet.
Something just happened?
No.
Taffa back in the fight?
No, Junior Taffa's not back in the fight. It's still Justin Taffa.
Is there a Jason Taffa?
But Justin Taffa by knockout is plus 220 if you want to get greedy and not just take the plus 155.
I do not believe that Justin Taffa is going to go three rounds and win a decision. If Justin Taffa wins the fight, it's because of knockout.
Okay.
I mean, all seven of his wins have come via knockout.
No, that's true. And so if you like Taffa, and you like what you do, you might as well sprinkle on by knockout, too, at plus 220.
Exactly.
All right. I like it. I'm writing it down. It's not prop of the night, but I like it. Taffa at plus 155, and then a little sprinkle on Taffa by knockout at plus 220. Our main event for this great UFC fight night. I can't even say it with a straight face. Is Amanda Ribas against Rose Namajunas? Namajunas is minus 250, even though she hasn't had a win since her split decision win over Zhang Weili at UFC 268. She's lost consecutive outings. You also have both of these female fighters go kind of between strawweight and flyweight. This is going to be in the flyweight division, as it is Amanda Ribas as Rose Namajunas. And Namajunas is minus 235 as the favorite here, and Ribas plus 180 on the money line.
It's very interesting that Rose Namajunas decided that she needed to change weight classes. Obviously, renowned for winning the strawweight championship multiple times, a very cerebral fighter, a very well-rounded fighter, and quite frankly, a very small strawweight. So she goes up in weight to a bigger weight class where she's going to be competing against bigger women, and she wasn't successful in her debut. Now, had she been, she might have been right in the mix for a shot at the flyweight championship, but Manon Farrow, who's fighting next week against Ernst Blanchfield in the main event of that Atlantic City card that you alluded to, was just the bigger fighter. She scored more and ended up being, you know, the Rose lost. And now it's two losses in a row for Rose Namajunas. The fight before that, one of the worst fights that we've ever seen, a very boring fight against Carla Esparza, where just Rose just didn't have the killer attitude or mentality. She wasn't hunting for certainly, you know, wins. And there's been at times where in rounds throughout fights that Rose Namajunas has done that. She's not going to be afforded that opportunity against Amanda Ribas. Now, I'm not suggesting that Amanda Ribas is some sort of killer. She's not. But she's an aggressive fighter. She will bring the fight to Rose Namajunas. I just don't believe that the skill set that Amanda Ribas has will match that of Rose Namajunas. So this is almost a stay-away fight for me because I don't like the value at Rose Namajunas at $1 or $2.20. I think we'd have to certainly throw her into the parlay because I do believe she wins the fight. But if I need to pick some value on Rose, it's going to be her via decision because I just haven't seen Rose really be that true finisher. I think the couple of finishes she's had, which have been spectacular, you know, the one that she had, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, knocking her out in the first round to win the championship, then the spectacular head kick knockout of Zhang Weili to win the title for the second time. I just don't see that happening again and again. So I think Rose via decision, if you want value on her to win the fight, that's the method of victory I would suggest.
That is at plus 260. Rose Namajunas by knockout is plus 155. Ribas by points is plus 460. And Ribas by submission is plus 600. But we will throw Rose Namajunas by just on the money line into our parlay, along with right now we just have her and Edmund Shahbazyan.
I think Mick Parkin's going to win the fight. I talked about him early at the first fight. I just don't think that Muhammad Usman is going to be able to outpace him or get those takedowns where he wants them. So I'll throw Mick Parkin into the fight, and then I'm trying to search if we could maybe make it a four-fight parlay. We lost. We had two legs lose last week.
Yeah, last week was not good. Yeah, with the parlay.
Let's see what else we got in here. Just looking. There's nothing else really to be honest.
Well, now it's plus 241, so right around plus 240. That's pretty good. Plus, we know what's going on this weekend. This is actually very wise by the UFC. I will give them credit. Throw up crap against the tournament this weekend because no one is watching this. Like, this is everyone's going to be watching Saturday night, the NCAA tournament. The second round is going to be going on. People are going to be watching that after the Thursday and Friday games. You know what you're doing. Just kind of let this one, all right, come back for the next one is in Atlantic City next week. And then, you know, you've got a couple more until UFC 300. So This is fine. I like the value at plus 240 after you've got a minus 215, a minus 235, and a minus 158. So if you're keeping track at home, it's Edmund Shahbazyan, Rose Namajunas, and Mick Parkin in the parlay for this weekend. So I'm fine with that.
Okay, well, let's just go with that. Three legs is good. Mm-hmm. It's good value there. We'll take a step back because I think we got a little bit greedy with the number of fights that we were predicting. But who could blame us for putting in a minus 700 favorite and then he loses?
And then he loses.
Thank you.
I know.
Kennedy and Jack Wu.
Yes. That was ridiculous. Right. Our other picks, Ramos under 2.5 or 1.5, whatever you can get. Mick Parkin money line, minus 160. Justin Taffa, plus 155, and a little bit of the sprinkle on plus 220. And then my prop of the night is Shahbazyan by knockout at plus 155. Anything else you're looking at on this fight card?
I mean, it's not so much that, but I think, you know, if we want to address Conor McGregor, did make news today.
Ooh, news dog. Okay. He made, there is news. There's news. What is it, Lassie?
He did announce, Conor McGregor did announce on social, confirmed by the UFC, he's going to headline UFC 303 in Vegas, June 29th. Against the much-rumored fight at middleweight against Michael Chandler.
Now, okay. You know what comes out tomorrow, too, right?
I'm aware.
So this is all strategic. You announce the fight today. You confirm the fight today. By the way, Roadhouse on Amazon Prime tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
If anybody wants to watch. And also, by the way, I'm fighting at UFC 303. But, like, it just seems a little...
Seems a little fishy, a little...
A little suspect with
TKO,
the timing.
TKO, if you will.
Yeah,
Is that the new company, TKO?
Exactly. A little suspect with the timing.
Yeah, and I don't... You know what? I don't want to give Conor McGregor too much love. That's it. That's the news dog. And this could be news dog number two.
Okay.
Did you hear what Alex Pereira put into his contract at UFC 300?
No.
Again, where he's headlining it in a title fight against Jamal Hill.
I did not.
I think you'll find this very interesting.
Okay.
So he put it in writing in his contract that if he is successful and unscathed at UFC 300, he will headline 3 weeks later in Brazil, UFC 301, ooh, against Magomed and Kalaya.
Oh, okay.
He's like, fuck you. I want to fight in Rio. You're forcing me to fight on UFC 300. So now I'm telling you, if I'm fine, I want to defend my belt 3 weeks later against an unbeaten Russian in Rio.
That
guy is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, what are the odds that he comes out unscathed, though?
I mean, he could. I mean, most of his wins are in the first round.
He's minus 150 right now against Jamahal Hill. All right, I like it.
I mean, the fight card is already great at 301 anyways.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just the headliner needs a little added.
Okay.
So let's get Alex Pereira on there.
All right, come out of here unscathed. And, yeah, I mean, Pantoja and Ursig is good too.
Yeah, that's the headliner right now for 301. Heavy Brazil.
Yeah.
Obviously influence.
Paul Craig's fighting.
Paul Craig is great. We've got Victor Petrino, who just won. He's unbeaten against Anthony Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Paheya is quick turnaround against Muradov.
Yeah.
It's good fights.
That's good. That's good. Okay, this was unplanned. I want to give you, let's see, I want to give you a few minutes here, however long you need. What is this? Is this Friday or Saturday? Thursday? Thursday. So tomorrow at 2:10 p.m. on True TV, Illinois, Morehead State.
Illinois should not have any issues with Morehead State. I think that just
you're taking the 11.5?
Yeah, you can lay that.
Okay.
I think that they'll take care of business. It's then getting into that second round against likely BYU, where I would have concerns, and then moving forward because Brad Underwood has never been to the Sweet 16 or the second weekend of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
But I gotta believe it's March. You're relying on guards, you're relying on experience. the whole team is either grad students or seniors, and Illinois's got two, all, you know, first team all conference guards, including, I believe, one that's going to be playing next year, or if he's not in prison, next year in the NBA, and that's Terrence Shannon Jr. So that should be enough to cover. I will be at the, Circle Tavern?
Circle Tavern with Carmen and Cap.
Yeah, tomorrow. So if you're listening to this on Friday, sorry I missed you, or maybe you said hello. I don't know. Well, if you're listening on Friday, you didn't say hello. Or maybe you did, and then you're listening. Oh, I did say hello.
I did, yeah.
But I think, yeah, I don't. And a great point was actually brought up to me today, was that in typical years past, in Illinois' first round, there would be a lot of conversation about their opponent. Sneaky upset. There's not.
No, there isn't. There are
at least 10 other games in the first round before you get to Illinois-Morehead State.
Yeah, including Alabama's game.
But Morehead State's got that cute story about the NAIA All-American that's, you know, Conference Player of the Year, and for Morehead State, like Riley Minix or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. You'll learn about him tomorrow at 2:15.
Alabama plays Charleston at 6:30 on Friday. They just gave Nate Oates a whole bunch of money. He's got the largest buyout in college basketball right now because I think they were afraid he was going to go back to Michigan, where he was a high school coach in Michigan. And then, you know, so now he's the Alabama head coach. But then they lose in the first game of the SEC tournament, like the day he gets the contract announcement. And then people are saying that Charleston, they play a home game essentially out west in Spokane, that this is going to be that, like, Alabama as a 13-4 matchup is on upset alert.
I don't know much about either team, so I'm relying on you. Did you
Alabama's defense has not been very good this year. They were much better defensively last year. An interesting Charleston stat, if they hit 80 points, they're undefeated because they play lockdown defense as well. I'm just kind of worried because they're very streaky. Like, it's very cliche to say if a team is hitting their threes, they can, you know, make some noise in the tournament. But that's all Alabama can do. If they're not hitting threes, they're not good. So that's essentially 90% of their offense. So if they can hit threes against a decent defensive team, they'll be fine. But the problem is they haven't been able to hit threes like the last 3 weeks of the year, and they've been slowly falling in the rankings. At one point, I think they were up to like 12th. And then now, you know, they finish, you know, close to 20th at the end of the rankings, and they get a 4 seed out of it to face Charleston. So I'm worried that they don't get out of the first round, and you just gave Nate Oates a whole bunch of money, and he's going to get – did they make it out of the first round last year? I don't remember. I don't think they did. I don't think they made it out of the first round last year either. So a little tougher for my team in the first round than your team. So good luck to us both, I guess.
Yes. Let's hope they get to the second weekend.
Yes. And that was the college basketball 5 minutes that you did not ask for. thank you for listening. He's Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter. Congratulate him after the Illinois win on Thursday night at Wood on ESPN 1000. Make sure you get all of his picks, not his college basketball picks, his MMA picks at FatJackSports.com. Get Fat Jack's college basketball picks there. They've been on fire. Make sure you sign up there, FatJackSports.com. Follow me on Twitter. Congratulate me or rip me if Alabama loses. I don't care. Or wins. At Adam A. Abdallah. And we will be back next week. You'll be back with Shay Norling next week because I'm taking a little vacation. So you'll be with Shay Norling, who's a great fill and a great option to replace me for the unnamed MMA podcast. So looking forward to listening to that while I'm on a beach somewhere.
You'll pay it no matter, no mind. You won't even.
No, I'm not going to. Yeah. I'm not going to listen to
it. Go enjoy the time off.
I'm not going to listen to it. I will listen to it. I will make a point to listen to you and Shay break down another great UFC fight night as we slog towards UFC 300 here on the unnamed MMA podcast. Thanks for listening.